as you can tell, we're changing things up a little bit today. In fact, we're going to be changing things up for at least the foreseeable future of this series that we're in, and maybe well beyond that. I believe that the Lord is leading in certain ways, and He gives vision about how He wants things done. And when He gives vision about how He wants things done, sometimes He doesn't give all the details. God is a person of, well, He says, I want you to step out in faith. I want you to step out and trust me in what happens and what's going on in your life. And sometimes we have to be radically obedient. I believe that Kaylee was one that came up here some months ago and talked about how she became radically obedient when she started listening to the Lord, and that changed a lot of things in her life. And I think she sees the results of that. And we celebrate that with her, with Cody and Kaylee both, because we know what's going on in their life. And we see God moving in big ways there. And that's what we're going to try to forward that. Repeat it, take it, and grow it. And that's why we're changing things up a little bit, and especially in this series about beyond the 40 days. 40 is a big, big thing in the Bible, right? I'm sure you guys have read many stories, have been heard many stories, even as a child, about the 40s that's in there. And we're going to go over some of those things, but we're going to focus in an entirely different way. But before I get into that, I want to know how many of you brought your Bibles, your reading Bibles with you today, the paper ones. I know we have the electronic ones, and I don't have a problem with those. I like them. They have a place. I can take notes. I can do things in that also. But sometimes I just like the tactile feel of a paper Bible, of a Bible in my hands that I could write in. I can scribble notes in. I can do highlights. How many of you can at least tell me that you have one of those? Yes, see, I like the hands that come up, right? Some of us that have had our Bibles for a long time, we've done a lot of writing in them. We've done a lot of scribbling in them, or highlighting. We've handled them a lot, and sometimes they just get to be to the point where, well, where mine is, and it's falling apart, right? Now, this is not a representation of my life, because this is falling apart. Because of the use means my life is not falling apart. Because of what's contained in here and the scribbles and the highlights that I make in here. And I saw one this morning that was in similar shape to mine. This is a glorious thing. I celebrate this. I celebrate. You see the binding in here. In fact, if you were to put it up to a light, I put it up here, you can see light through it. Right? I figure that's the light of Jesus coming through there. That's what it means to me. You see the cover where it's worn, where I carry it, where I use it and I turn it. Some of the pages are a little worse for wear. Some of them have some really good creases in them. Some have some thumb marks in there. You know, sometimes the highlight bleeds through in certain areas and the pen goes in there, and we do that. Mary, I know that. I saw yours this morning. And yours looks similar, that the cover is, well, looks like it's well used. And that's love. That's love in use right there. And it's important that we have one of these in our life. Whether you want to have one in paper form or you want to have one just on your app, as long as you're using it, it's important that we have one of these in our life. Because this, even though it's falling apart, again, because of this, my life is not. And that's where we come into this series about, and I've been broadcasting the fact of having this 40-day Bible reading challenge that I put out there. And there's actually a poll that, or someplace you could sign up on it, that I could give you daily reminders and encouragement to read your Bibles for 40 days straight. Because reading your Bibles can do something in your life. It can change your life so much when you dive into the Word. But you have to dive into the Word. And we've spoken many times in this building. I've spoken it corporately. I've spoken to people individually about the importance of reading your Bible and what it does. And reading God's Word allows us to hear His voice. right? When you read it, I hope you hear his voice. When I read it, I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me and interpreting sometimes when I'm reading. And when I get that fresh revelation of the Word by the Holy Spirit in my life, my heart just lights up. I almost get I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it, because that's God moving. That's the passion coming out. I'm very passionate about this, because this is not only important in my life, but I know how important it is for your life. That we all can come together and understand God's Word together and learn God's Word together, but we have to be in God's Word. I've told you many times, I don't want you to rely upon what I'm saying about God's Word. I want you to read God's Word. And if I'm wrong about God's Word, I want you to come to me and challenge me. Right? Because if you're reading God's Word, I don't have to worry about you as much. We read God's Word. It allows us to know what He is truly saying. It allows us the opportunity to identify falsehoods. Falsehoods somebody else is telling us, like I just mentioned, or even falsehoods about what we're thinking. Sometimes it's even falsehoods about, well, what we think is spiritually from God is not spiritually from God. And we need to pay attention to those things. When we read His Word, it gives us a sense of connection to Him. And this connection is very important. If you want to know God, you have to read His Word. You cannot know God without reading His Word. That's plain and simple. When you do that, you receive all those spectacular things I was just talking about. But there's even other spectacular things that can happen in your life by reading the Word. You know, there was a study done by the Center of Bible Engagement a few years ago, where they went out and they polled 40,000 Christians from ages 8 to 80. And they asked them how many times that they engaged in the Bible reading per week. Now, this is Christians that they're talking about. And we've spoken before about how Christians fail to read their Bible on a habitual basis. That some Christians don't even crack open a Bible, don't look at a verse, period. They get everything from somebody else. They don't get it directly from God. You know, that's one of the greatest gifts we've ever received from Jesus, is to be the ability to receive God's Word straight from God, from the Father Himself. That was the time that curtain torn in two, taking away the barrier between us and our Father in heaven, so that we could hear from Him directly. And that belongs in prayer, but it also belongs when you read His Word. You don't need an interpreter other than God now. But you have to engage in that conversation. When the Center for Bible Engagement did that, they were just asking a basic question about how many times Christians engaged in the Bible. But while doing their study, they also came upon some other important information, something that they weren't looking for, but they ended up getting the information anyway, so they compiled it together. And this is the information that I want to share with you about reading your Bible right now. And trust me, this is building up to something, to the importance of reading your Bible before we get in to the series on 40s. Okay? I want you to understand this. You see, what they found out is that when people engaged, Christians said they read their Bible once or twice a week, they noticed no impact in their life. None whatsoever. No noticeable impact in their lives. Now, for those Christians that read theirs a couple times a week, they said, well, they felt better about themselves, but there were no significant changes in behavior or well-being in their life. However, when the center was conducting their study, they found some very interesting information for those Christians that read their Bibles four or more times in a week. Now, maybe some of you already know these stats, but I'm going to give you some of these stats because they're really important to project to you why to read your Bible. I mean, if it's not having connection with God is important enough, I'm going to give you something else to lean on. You see, when Christians read their Bibles 4+ times a week, they noticed that there was their feeling of loneliness dropped by 30%. That you have the connection. That their feeling of loneliness dropped by 30%. They also noticed that the anger and their relationship bitterness was reduced by 32 to 40% respectively in that. 32 to 40% of anger and relationship bitterness gone. Alcoholism fell by 57%. Pornography viewing fell by 61%. And extramarital sex fell by 68%. That's amazing. That is really amazing. Just by picking up their Bible. But there's another important part in here that I want to bring to you is the fact that their feeling of being spiritually stagnant dropped by 60%. We are spiritual people. God designed us in such a way that we are spiritual. We're supposed to have, we have a spirit, right? There's a spirit inside of you. And in that, you're supposed to welcome in the Holy Spirit to be part of your personal spirit, to complete you. That's what it is. That's what it's about. But when you engage in your Bible reading 4 or more times a week, that feeling of spiritual stagnancy dropped 60%. But there are some parts here that did increase by reading your Bible. And these are amazing too. You see, when they picked up their Bibles and they read it, and they read it habitually, and they read it in the way they were supposed to, and having a daily devotion to God's Bible 4 or more times a week, they found that the sharing of their faith increased by 200%. That's a 2 and a 0 and a 0. 200% of sharing their faith. But that's not even the best one. You see, when they read their Bibles and they engaged with God and they did it with a devotion behind them, they found that their discipleship of others skyrocketed 230%. Amazing, right? That's something to write down. That's something to remember. You know, there's some of us out here that like stats, that like details. I like stats, I like details. If a connection with God wasn't enough for me to look at that and go, this is also what I can receive, I'm all in on that. That's part of my life now. Reading scripture is a part of my life now because it benefits me way more than I ever realized. And it allows me to benefit others way more than I ever realized. That's why it's important. And because of this, I'm encouraging us to read our Bible, and that's why we have the 40-day challenge going on. I want you to join with me in reading your scripture 40 days nonstop, uninterrupted, so that way we too can experience what we found the center had. What we found the center came back with their research, that we can have a bigger connection with the Lord, that we can feel spiritually alive, that we can know God deeper, that we can truly have that impact in our lives and others' lives. So I want to do that together. And I want to give this to you because I don't want you to feel ashamed. I don't want you to feel discouraged. If you miss a day, life happens. Life happens. But we go on. Pick up where you left off and finish strong. And do that, and I want to see what happens in your life. I want you to come up and tell me, Pastor, this is what I feel. This is what has happened in my life because I engaged in God's Word on a daily basis. I want to celebrate with you in this. I truly do. It'll be such an amazing thing for me to hear how God's working in your life continually. And if we read the Bible all the time, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Engage even more. Dive in deeper more. I don't know what that looks like. God will show you. But I guarantee if you dive in deeper, amazing things will happen. Amazing things. So while we're reading for our 40 days, I thought about how I could encourage you in that, and that's where the series on the Beyond the 40 came up. Because there's a lot of areas in the Bible where it focuses on the number 40. You ever notice that? There's a lot of 40s in there. Sometimes it has to do with somebody's age, but those are even important, right? You remember Moses and his age? 40, 80, 120, right? It's amazing how the Lord works. And we see that, and we look at that, and we go, how did he do that? Well, that's because he's God. You know, sometimes we just don't get the explanation. We just have to realize he's God. So there's a lot of 40s in the Bible, and all of them are tremendous. There's many stories in the Word which directly deal with the number 40. But if you ever notice when you're reading in the 40, and you're reading the story of the 40, everything doesn't stop after the 40. It keeps on going. It continues on. You know, it's not like there's a hard stop there. No, things continue on. God always has a plan. He has a purpose in things. And so we see that, and we can recognize those things. And even though we concentrate on the 40 sometimes, I want us to realize the 41st. The 41st is important. The 41st is coming for a lot of people. In those 40s, there's usually a time of, well, there's a purposeful time of challenge, of growth, of trials. And some of those can be, they can feel rather harsh sometimes, can't they? That we look at the 40s and go, wow, I couldn't imagine going through that, you know? But even sometimes when we walk through things in our lives, it feels like we're in 40s, doesn't it? That we're walking through a 40 somewhere. That God has asked us, God has urged us to walk through a 40 so that we have a time of growth in our life. Because that's why God uses that time of 40. He uses it as a time of growth for whoever he asks to go through it. Now, I say the number 40 out here, but I want you to take that with a grain of salt. Because sometimes, well, we can be asked to go a lot longer than 40. 40 days, 40 years, 40 months, whatever it is. It can sure feel a lot longer also, right? It's like, man, I can be in something for 30 days, and that's like I felt like I've been there all year long. So when we talk about the 40s, we're talking about the idea of the 40s. But we're also recognizing the impact of the 41st. And what that impact really has for us. What it really means for us. Our 40s are frequently demanding, and some are more strenuous than others. Occasionally that we know what's going to happen at the end of our time of trial. There are times that God says, hey, I'm going to have you walk through this because I want this in your life. And he will show you that. And he shows you that so you have hope, right? But there's a lot of other times that he says, I'm going to have you walk through a time of trial, but you don't know what it's all about. You don't know what you're supposed to be learning. And then you just have to learn to trust God and have hope in him. That's faith, folks. That's having faith. But no matter what happens, no matter how long we have to walk through it, no matter how often we have to walk those, it's always for our good. God always uses it for our good, and we just have to figure out, okay, God, what's the good that came out of this? A lot of times when we're walking in the middle of it, we can't see that good. But when we come out on the other side, we look back, and what happens? We then recognize why we walk through something. So I want to get into the 40, but I want you to remember that we're celebrating the 41st, okay? So the first story in the Bible that has a 40 in it, you guys know what it is. Comes in the book of Genesis already, right? Book of Genesis, way in the beginning, the first 40. It's a very prominent part, but, and I mean that the 40 is a very prominent part in that story, but that story takes a lot longer than 40 days and 40 nights. It takes a long time in there. That something occurs before it comes to its final end, right? And no, almost, well, most people, even people outside of follower, outside the church, know about the story of Noah and the ark, right? You recall it, I'm sure you recall it fairly well, hopefully, that what happened that time that Noah had to build an ark and why he had to build an ark and everything that was going in there. If you want to refresh your memory in Noah and the ark, you need to go in and you need Genesis chapter 6, 7, and partially 8. I also think partially 8. But in this spot, in this point of time in Genesis, in Noah's life, God was going to do a time of testing. The testing came for Noah because he was telling Noah, I want you to go build this huge ark. Do you guys remember how big that was? 300 cubits, right? Now, I'm going to let you guys do a little bit of research. I didn't want to answer everything for you because I want you to dig into your Bibles. Find out how much 300 cubits is. It's big. I mean, it's huge. I would almost dare say it's gargantuan because it's large. But he built an ark because God said, I want you to go build an ark. Now, if you would ask somebody outside of the building that's not a follower of Christ and hasn't read the Bible, said, how many days were in that? And they would say 40. Right? But in that time, you would ask them, well, how long did everything take? And they probably wouldn't be able to answer you. Because things didn't just stop at 40. On the 41st day, everything just didn't stop. It kept going. It kept on going on because God had things he was going to do. So a lot of people don't really understand the whole timeline of events there. But I'm going to reveal some things to you today so that hopefully it will encourage you in your 40s. See, during that time, God felt it was necessary to cleanse the earth. Now, for those of you that have shown me your Bible you have here today, open up to the book of Genesis in chapter 6, and I want you to look at verses 5 through 7. If you have your apps also, you can take a look in that, and we will look and see some of the things in here, what God is doing and why he felt it was necessary to cleanse the earth. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. This is what he said. He said, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. We see God that he's looking at the human beings, and human beings were wicked beyond belief. He says there's not even a time in their life where they didn't have an evil thought. A time. Not one moment of a day that there wasn't an evil thought in all the people. And he says, I regret making them. You ever felt regret? You know what regret feels like? I'm sure you do. That's the same feeling that God had. He says, I regret making them. I'm saddened by the fact that I made them. And he says, I'm going to clean them out. I'm going to wipe them off the earth. But there was one person who found favor in God's eyes. That comes in verse 8, where it was said that, let me find my spot again. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So we know that Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So he came upon Noah and said, Noah, because you found favor in the eyes of myself and your family, I want you to build an ark because I want you to be safe. So he says, I'm going to do this. We're going to have it rain for a long time. So Noah said, okay, I'm going to build an ark. Now, if you go further on in there, you'll figure out how old Noah is at that time. If you go down to verse 11, it says in there, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the seventh month, on that day the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Noah was 600 years old. I couldn't imagine being 600 years old. I know what it feels like to be about 55 years old. Being 600 years old? No, thank you. But Noah was 600 years old. And Noah and his family built this ark. And on what day? 17th day of the seventh month, the rain started coming. God said, get in the boat, get in the ark, seal yourself up, seal your family up. The animals were already in there. They had already put all the supplies that they needed in there. Everything was ready to go. So they hoist up the door, they seal it up, and the rain started coming. Here comes all the water. Now I noticed what it rained like last night. We had about 2 inches of rain in about 2 hours. When I looked outside, it was raining. I couldn't imagine what this rain looked like. And not only was it raining from the heavens, it was also coming up from the deep. Because God had let everything loose. And it rained how many days and nights? 40. Rained 40 days and 40 nights. And it kept coming. And the water kept rising up. The water kept coming down 40 days and 40 nights. The water was coming up. And it got to a certain point where all the mountains in the entire earth were covered, right? Covered. In fact, the peaks of the tallest mountain was 23 feet below the water level. Now, I don't know if you know, I don't know how tall that was back then, but I can look at Mount Everest now and see how many feet above seawater that one is, and you can add 23 feet to that, and that's where the water level stopped. That's a lot of water, folks. And the 40 came, and the 40 went, and we had the 41st, right? But things were not over. On the 41st, things were not over. At the end of 40 days, it stopped raining, and God said, okay, I'm going to seal things up. But the water stood there. It stood for quite some time. In actuality, it took 1 year for that water to go away. 1 year. We can go into Scripture, we can read in there that it took 1 year from the time that Noah closed up the ark to when he put the gangplank back down and walked out of there. In Scripture it says that. If you go into chapter 8, verse 13, you can read that he was 601 years old the first day of the first month. He opened the door. Days that water was there, and they floated around before God said, I'm going to send a wind to recede the water. And when that happened, they receded the water. All of a sudden, the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. And it took time for that water to even recede from there. It was a long time. A long time. But God knew what he was doing. But I told you, folks, we were focusing on the 41st. So we're going to focus on the 41st and what the 41st actually means to, well, to us. Because it was the 41st day that God stopped the rain, right? He closed up the heavens, the floodgates, the springs of the deep. God had released his wrath upon the earth. And everything beside Noah, his family, and everything else in the ark was gone. It was done. God had released his wrath, and now it was time for recovery. He says, I want you to recover in all this. And recovery is a very significant step. See, when we hit that time of recovery, it doesn't mean that the work or growth is over. It just means that we get a little bit of reprieve from being in the 40. It means we get a little reprieve from that. It means we're no longer sliding down the mountain. It means we're no longer sitting still in the pit. It means that we have now traversed to the other side where we are now climbing back up the mountain. This is what the 41st signifies in everybody's life in the times when I look at this, that they were now in that time of recovery. They were no longer in the place of despair. They were now climbing out of the valley. And that's important for us to remember those things, because sometimes we can think about the valley so much that we forget that, well, we can climb out of the valley. In fact, God allows us. He encourages us. He gives us a time of growth so that we can manage to climb out of the valley. I remember going on hikes when I was a kid. And we'd be hiking up a trail, and all of a sudden, that trail would, the incline would just go poof. And I'm talking about a 20-degree incline. Anybody ever here rode a bike on a 20-degree incline or walked that? It will get your attention. Think about the streets. You know the streets in San Francisco? Those ones on the hills? Those are 20-degree inclines and declines. And if you take a bike on those or you walk those, and you're not used to it, your legs will be tired. But if you keep on doing it, you keep on walking them, you keep on biking up them, what happens sooner or later? Your legs get stronger, right? And that hill, that incline is not such a big deal. See, this is what God is doing in all of our lives. He's getting our legs ready for us. He says, I want you to grow in your strength. So when I ask you to climb up this particular mountain, that it's not going to wind you as much. That you're going to be ready to get up to the mountain peak where I want you to be. So you can look out over everything and you can understand why I asked you to go through what I asked you to go through. It's the fact that He wants us to be stronger, to have that growth in our life, that we can reach the pinnacle of what He wants us to reach. He says, this is why I ask you to go through these 40s. This is why I ask you to be a part of that. Because I want you to see and I want you to know, I want you to rejoice in the fact that you've come to the 41st. We rejoice because we've gained. We are now stronger. We are now wiser. We have persevered through it. And in that type, we are now spiritually more mature in who we are because we relied on God during the 40, that we come out of there with a bigger, deeper understanding of who He is and who we are in Him. That's what the 40 is about. But it doesn't happen till the 41st. But folks, if you're in the 40, the 41st is coming. I want you to focus beyond the 40. I want you to see beyond what God is asking you to go through now to see what God is promising you for later. Because that's what keeps us going. That's the hope that comes out of that. That hope that comes out that we realize a more genuine faith in God, that we have an experience of proven character in ourselves, that we have a renewed hope in life, in God, in ourselves, that we have a deeper dependence on God because of where we were at. To notice that we have been prepared for a future purpose God has in store for us. It's something that God wants us to do. God doesn't need us to do anything. He doesn't need us to do anything. But He wants us to be a part of what He's doing. And to be a part of that, we have to be stronger. To be a part of that, we have to rely on God more. To be a part of that, we have to realize that there's going to be some pain in it because we need to grow. That's the purpose. But realize when you're in the 40, the 41st is coming. You know, as we have hinted about in the future, we're talking about God revealing Himself to us, whether it's in His Word, whether it's whatever way it is, right? As I come up here, I always talk about how I hope that you hear God's words through me, that the Holy Spirit is there to interpret God's word, because you need to hear God in what I'm speaking. You don't need to hear my droning voice. You need to hear God's voice. You need to hear God's heart and all of that. So I'm going to invite the music team up. Because sometimes I look out here, and it's not a reflection upon any one person, but it's where my heart is at sometimes. That I realize that there's some of us that have been through the 40s, and we're in the 41st right now. But even when you're in the 41st, you have an opportunity to become even stronger with your connection to God, with your relationship with Jesus, of allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life, allowing God to work through you and to respond in kind. Hopefully He's revealed Himself in some way today that you can respond to. But some of us are going through the 40s. Some of us are in the middle of the 40s right now. And for those of you that are walking through the 40s right now, I want you to know that your 41st is coming. I want you to realize that God has not forgotten about you. I want you to know that the rain will stop. I want you to realize that the sun will come out. I want you to know that you're not alone. See, just like Noah was in his ark with his family. He had God and his family with him. He wasn't alone in all that. And if you're walking through a 40 right now, I want you to know you're not alone. The Lord is right beside you, and so is your church family. We're here to walk with you. We're here to be a part of that journey. We're here to help each other out. We're here to be a loving and kind guidance. And yes, it's not fun, but it's necessary. It's necessary to make you into the person that you're supposed to be for God's purpose and plan, to be able to do what He's going to ask you to do later on. So your 41st is coming. I want you to understand that He's your ark. Jesus will help you keep your head above the waters. And before the music team, before I break away and let them lead you in a time of just worship and response, I have a word of encouragement that comes from Isaiah 43:2, and I'd love to read it to you. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." The Lord is with you. Jesus is with you.